Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to everybody. The words trickery, deception, fraud, cheating, false impressions, false offers are concepts and words that we like to stay very far away from. Nobody wants to trick somebody. Nobody wants to deceive another person. Nobody intends to be a fraud or to cheat or to give off a false impression or offer something that's false. But indeed, whether willfully, intentionally, or unintentionally, we all bump into tricking somebody or deceiving somebody. This is what we refer to in halacha as gnevas das, theft of the heart. And of course, it's a machlokas rishonim as to whether or not gnevas das is an issur d'oraisa, an issur d'rabbanan, or maybe only a midas chasidus, or a nice thing, a nice behavior. The Sforno, as well as the Eben Ezra, and the Pasuk, and the Lav, and the issur d'oraisa, on one of the Aseres HaDibros Lo Signov, both write that included in one of those Dibros, Lo Signov is included, the gnevas das, theft of the heart, confusing, fooling, tricking, deceiving somebody. It's an absolute iser, no different than gnevas mammon, and no different than gnevas nefash, no different than kidnapping somebody, no different than stealing money, stealing somebody's heart, fooling somebody, giving somebody a mistaken impression, allowing somebody to acknowledge you for something that you really never did, is no different than gnevas mammon or gnevas Fashos. Indeed, Shari Tshuva actually writes, it's even more significant. And Shari Tshuva Ben Yon writes, and Shari Gimel Siman Kuf Pei Dalet, that it's much more chomer. Shegam is daitol shel goy aser lignov. That even gnevas das of a goy is aser, and that's more severe than gnevas mamon of a goy. And indeed, the Chazon Ish adds and explains in Emunah Bitachon Perek Dalet Sif Yud Gimel that Gnevas Das is much, much more egregious, because when it comes to Sheker, when it comes to fooling somebody, lying, you're not really injuring the other person. You're just telling a lie. But in this context, you're hurting somebody. You're fooling somebody. You're stealing their heart. You're a thief because you've taken something away from them. And thus the lab, the iser of gnevas das, be it d'oraisa, be it d'rabbanan, or only a midas chasidus, or an act that is above and beyond the letter of the law, is an area that requires significant study and significant amount of paying attention and careful to. The halachas of gnevas das are found in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Reish Chav Ches, and both in the Torah, the Beis Yosef, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim, address gnevas das from a number of different vantage points. There's gnevas das in the realm of offering something that you don't really mean. There's gnevas das that you give off a false impression to somebody. There's deception in the world of business and commerce. And really what we will talk about this evening is specifically when it comes to trickery and deception, not when it comes to financial, and that is indeed dealt with in the second half of Siman Reish Chav Ches, but we're going to deal with speech, language, and the variety of different ways where we could run into this particular problem. Let's start by taking a look at Shulchan Aruch in the Choshen Mishpat, Siman Reish Chav Ches Sivav. And here the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ve'en lignov das habrios bedvarim. You can never fool somebody, trick somebody with words. Shemare she'ose b'shvilav o'ena ose. That you make somebody think that you're actually doing something for them, and you're not. Kate said, what's an example? Lo yisarv b'chavero sheyisur imo v'hu yodeh sheno soed. You can't invite somebody to your house when you know that you really have no intention of them coming, or you know that they'll be away. You can't say, would you like to come over? Would you like to join me for a meal? Would you like to come over and talk? Would you like to come over and spend some time together? When you know that that person is not in town, when you know that person has a different engagement, that's a problem of gnevas das. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch says, you shouldn't make a person feel close to you when you know that they're not going to be accepting it. You shouldn't make them feel good. Can I give you a call? Can I reach out to you? How about we get together? When you know that they're not interested, you know that they're not going to accept. That's gnevas das. Further, the Shulchan Aruch says, number three, v'lo yiftach chavis ha-psuchos l'chen v'ni, v'zezover shepotcha b'shvili. You shouldn't open up a barrel of wine. You shouldn't open up and intend to make a cup of coffee for somebody when you know that that's not the case. It's certain that you're not going to do it, but you've created a ruse whereby they think that you're opening something or offering them something when you're not going to do that. Further, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Zayin, Lo yom lo soch shemen mipach zev urekan. You can't tell somebody, hey, would you like something that's in this barrel, some oil that's in this barrel, when you know that it's empty? V'leilech lebeis avol biyado klei rekan v'sov avol shumali. You shouldn't enter a beis avol, a mourner's home, intending that you have a basket full of goods or gifts or food, when you have absolutely no intention to give it to them, and when it's actually empty. These are all examples of gneivas das, of stealing somebody's heart, fooling somebody, deceiving somebody, when you have absolutely no intention to help that person, to make good on the offer. However, the Shulchan Aruch gives two exceptions to this rule, and the Sma, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, gives even a third. Shulchan Aruch says, "Vum osek de lechabdo mutter." You could do any of the things, the aforementioned items that we mentioned. You could invite somebody. You could bring an empty barrel. You can bring an empty basket. You can offer somebody to come over in any of these contexts if it's kedei lechabdo, if it's in order to honor them, to give them kavod. And the Sma explains, because if you don't do that, they may be insulted and they're going to be hurt. So therefore, it's both positive and negative. It has an element where you're looking out for somebody, you're making somebody feel good, even though you're not going to make good on the offer. Or it's an element of not hurting somebody or making them feel bad. And the Sma, secondly, explains another exception to rule, piggybacking upon this, and explains that when the Shulchan Aruch says lo yisarhev, you shouldn't pressure somebody to come over, Shulchan Aruch says that based upon the language of the Shulchan Aruch, that it's only if you continue to pressure and pressure and pressure the person. But if you just come and ask somebody once or twice, very simply, without making that offer over and over again, then that would be okay. If you don't make the offer, if you don't say, would you like to have a cup of coffee? Would you like to come over to my house for a meal? In that context, your friend will be disgraced and embarrassed. If you're not going to make the offer, if you're not going to invite the person, not only are you not giving kavod to that person, but moreover, you're creating a scenario and a situation whereby onlookers will say that you really don't care about that person. How could you have not invited that person? How could you have not sent that person an invitation? How could you have not made a nice offer, a kind gesture? So therefore, the first two exceptions that we have are the Shulchan Aruch of Kidei Lechabdo, in order to give honor, respect, and be courteous and kind to somebody. That context, Gnevas Das, the likes which we have mentioned, is going to be permitted. You can make an invitation. You can make an offer. You can share something with somebody even though you don't have it. And number two, the Sma's explanation is if you just make that offer once, that's okay. It's only prohibited, as the Shulchan Aruch says, lo yisarev shiyisrimo. Don't pressure the person. Don't ask tens of times when you know it's not going to happen and you're not going to make good. But after once or twice, even, says the Sma, is permitted. Because otherwise people were going to think that you're not really doing the right thing. The third exception is mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch, again it's Sivav. V'mhudavr di boile lasuke adaite she'eno osa bishvilo umante atzmo. If you're offering something to somebody, but really it's clear that you're not making an offer, but the person fools themselves into thinking that it's an offer. For example, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Shesover she'ose b'shvilo l'chvodo." The individual thinks that you are honoring them by doing something for them. By the following case, "Shepaga b'chaver b'derech," you bump into somebody in the alley, in the street, on the highway, on the byway, or in some building. And the person thinks that you came to greet me, you came out to say Shalom Aleichem, you left your office, you left your desk, you left your house, and you came out to the street to greet me, when you really didn't. In that context, you don't have to tell the person, you know what, I really didn't come out to greet you. I didn't go out of my desk. I didn't go out of my way to greet you. It just happens to be that I needed to go shopping and I bumped into you in the road. In that context, says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to admit and acknowledge that you didn't go out to greet them, because the person there makes their own mistake. Ihu di'iboye adaite. He should have figured that out himself. Iboye lasuki adaite. He should have figured out that there could be another possibility. There could be another explanation for why you're here. This third exception to the rule is based upon the Gemara and Daf Tzadi Dalet and Chulin, where Marzutra was leaving the city and he saw the two great Rabbanim, Rav and Rav Safra, were coming out. And Marzutra said, "You came all the way to greet me. I can't believe it. I'm overwhelmed." And Rav said nothing to that effect and was silent and was quiet and didn't respond. And from there, the Gemara says, and Rav explains to Rav Safra, the reason he didn't correct Rav Marzutra's mistake is because he made his own mistake, he fooled himself, and therefore in that context, you don't have to correct the person and you don't have to fix the mistake. The third exception to the rule of Gnevas Das, Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Yoredeh, Chelek Aleph, Simon Laman Aleph, explains based upon this Gemara that a common practice, at least amongst butchers 30, 40, 50 years ago, was to soak liver in red blood in order to make the liver look fresher, when really it wasn't. And the question was posed to Rav Moshe whether that was a issur of Gnevas Das. You're fooling the consumers and the customer, the clients. They're going to think that the liver is fresh when it's really not that fresh. And Rav Moshe said, since that's common practice in the butcheries, and that's common practice in the marketplace, iub di boile la suke adaite, that person should have figured out. The customers, the consumers, the clients know that. It's obvious. They should do their own personal investigation. Is the liver fresh or is it not fresh? You could figure out. That's up to you. But the fact that it's made to look nicer, the same way the supermarket spruces up their produce, spritzes it with some water, or makes it look nicer, in that context, you're not changing the item. You're not making something that's old look new. You're not making something that's spoiled look fresh. But here you're just making something look nicer. So too, Rav Moshe said in this context that adding a red coloring or adding blood to the liver is dome to the case. The Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadidal is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins here, like the opinion of Rava, that Marzutra did not have to be told that we were not going out to greet him because he should have figured that out himself. Let's take a look at four contemporary examples based upon that which we have seen in Chosha Mishpat and Gnevas Das. First question, are you permitted to invite somebody to your house when you know that they're not going to come? It seems very clear from the Shulchan Aruch that the only exception would be that if there's an element of kavod, you're honoring that person. Or furthermore, if the person will be insulted if you're not asking them, those would be permissibilities to allow an invitation to somebody for a Shabbos meal, for a Yom Tov meal, for a middle of the week meal, even though you know they have another engagement, they've been invited somewhere else. If you're doing it lechabdo, or you only ask them once like the Sma says, it would be permitted. And indeed, that's the psak of the Yosef Ometz. Chelek Aleph Dini Masu Matan V'Gnevas Das Simen Shin Mem Dalet. Rav Yosef Han writes that based upon the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that we've just described, it would be permitted to do so. And he writes, and I quote, Mikan Yesh Heter L'mash Regilim Po. He was a Rav in Frankfurt, recording Minhagim of Frankfurt in Germany. Rav Yosef Han writes that the Heter and the custom which takes place here in Frankfurt, Likro Lizame Larova Sudos, Almanos, that we invite many, many Almanos, widows, Afopishodesh and Hochlimishta. We invite them to meals, to a variety of different Shabbos and Yom Tov and communal meals, even though we know that this one or this group is not going to come. So you invite all the rabbis in the city to your wedding, even though you know they're not going to come. And you're willing to put out food or to offer food to people you know are not coming. So says the Yosef Ometz, exactly the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Chosha Mishpat, Siman Reish Chav Ches, Sifim Vav and Zion, as the Sma explains and posits explicitly, that if you're inviting somebody lechabdo, to honor them, not to insult them, or only one off, two off, or according to the Yosef Ometz, even if you're doing it regularly, that an almana, somebody who's alone, should always feel that they have an invitation, should always feel comfortable that you're looking out for them, that you care about them, and you have their best interest in mind, that would be permitted because of the heter of kavod, because of the heter of not being the vayesh them, or as the Sma says, because of the heter of not overdoing it or asking only once or twice. What about the following scenario, which is not terribly uncommon? You are invited to a wedding, And it just how happens to be that you're traveling out of town and you're going to go to a particular wedding and you know that there's another wedding in the same area. But you were never planning to attend that wedding. It just happens to be that you're in the same vicinity, the same area, and therefore you could stop in. So not only do you go to the first wedding where you intended to go and that was the reason that you left City A to go to City B, but when you get to City B, you decide to stop into Wedding B, when you really did not go explicitly to that wedding. And you enter the wedding hall and you go to Wedding B. And as soon as you get into Wedding Hall B, the father and the mother of the chas and the kala, whoever it is, says, you came all the way from City A to City B to make it to be mesamech me, to come to my chasna. I can't believe it. I'm so overwhelmed. What's the response supposed to be? So indeed, the Shulchan Aruch says exactly that case. Just like Mar Zutra thought that Rav and Rav Safra came out to greet him, and Rav responded and silently said nothing to Iud Atil and Avshay, says Rav Yosef Shamal Yashim Zichon Levracha in his Ha'aros to Meseches Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalid, She'odim Shagar B'Yushalayim, a person lives in Yushalayim, and Nimtza Ba'akrei B'Bnei Brak, and happens to be in B'Nei Brak, Mutu Lo Lihikanis L'Chasna Shlohayon Haseilav B'Yuchad, he could go into the second Chasna, or even the first Chasna, if he never intended to travel to Bnei Brak for that particular chasana, mibli legalos the balasimcha shehigil Bnei Brak beglasi b'chasana. You don't have to tell anything to the wedding party that you never had intention to go to, that you happen to be in Bnei Brak for a different reason. Why? Because people are always traveling from town to town. The Bali Simcha, the father, the mother of either the Chasan Kala, should have recognized that it's possible that he's here. And therefore, in that context, I have no reason to reveal, to admit, or to acknowledge that the reason why I've come to your wedding in Bnei Brak is because I happen to be here regardless. I don't have to say that. It says Rabbi Eliashiv, there is an exception. Except if you happen to be in an odd city for no apparent reason. It's obvious that people track from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. It's obvious that people travel from New York to New Jersey and to a variety of different venues back and forth for different reasons. But if you happen to be in Timbuktu, and then you go to the wedding there, and then the father and the mother bride say, you came all the way. Well, if it's obvious that you didn't come there for any other reason besides for some other reason, then you would indeed have to reveal that that's not the reason that you came, but you came for a different reason. In the Sefer Titan Emes the Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Fish, in the fifth section of the Sefer Simon Kuf Chafei, he quotes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach had the same question, and indeed Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach traveled to a wedding out of Yerushalayim, and he jumped in and hopped into the wedding that he had no intention to be at. It was a wedding of a Chashev Rosh Yeshiva who was making a chasana out of Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was there for a different reason. And as soon as Rabbi Shlomo Zalman entered the wedding hall, he says, I have to tell you the truth. Lo higati lirchem b'miyucha lishtatif b'simcha. So I didn't come specifically to the city for your wedding. Elo lishtatif b'simcha cheres, but I came to the city for a different wedding or a different simcha, and I'm coming to your simcha, to your chasana, because I happen to be here anyway. When everybody was so surprised that Shlomo Zalman said that, when the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, the person should have figured out that he was here for a different reason. That's the story with Mar Zutra and then Rava. So how come he said what he said? Shlomo Zalman responded, "Hello, Gemara Arukahi. It's a long Gemara, and Daf Tzadi Dalam Abayis. And if you take a look at the Gemara and Daf Tzadi Dalam Abayis, it's true, Mar Zutra." And Rava didn't admit, but Rav Safra, who was the other colleague of Rava, told Mar Zutra, you should know, we didn't come to greet you specifically. If we would have known you were coming, we would have gone out to greet you even greater. But because we were not going to greet you, I can't say that we were going out to greet you. And therefore, although the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like that opinion, Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that it was a zehiros, it was a greater kavod, to be honest, and thus in that context, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach did not posit like the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, but rather went out of his way to admit the real reason why he was in the second city. There's a similar situation. This Rav Fish also speaks about in the very same Ma'ar Mokum, the Sefer Tita Nemes Liyakov, Chelek Hei, Simen Kuf Chafei. Person goes to visit somebody in the hospital. And then once you're there, you say, you know what? Let me go visit somebody else. are you required at that point when you go into the second room, when the person says, thank you so much, you came special to visit me, I'm so moved, I'm so touched. So there Rabbi Yaakov Fish again quotes the same Gemara, and here specifically refers to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Yashiv, son-in-law, who paskins exactly like Yisrael, like his father, Rabbi Yashiv, in the Sefer Alein L'Shabech, that you don't have to tell the sick person that I didn't come to visit you. He made the mistake. He could have assumed that maybe you're making rounds. Maybe you're visiting one person and a second person. Unnecessary. You don't have to do that. You could respond and say, you know, such a person like you, how could I not visit you? That you can absolutely say. But you can't say specifically, yes, of course I came to greet you. But you could be silent, you could be quiet, and you have no reason to reveal that you came to visit somebody else first. In the Sefer Emes Kone, in the second half of the Sefer, Mishpatei Shalom, in Perik Ches, Ha'arach Chavdalet 24, it shares a fascinating story that parents, new parents, named their child a particular name, and then a relative called to thank them for naming their child, for naming them after their relative, when really they had absolutely no intention to name after that relative. And they got an enormous thank you and appreciation. I'm so touched. I'm so moved. You named your child after my Bubby, my Zadie, my uncle, whatever it is. So, same story. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Psak, Rabbi Eliashiv, Rabbi Zilberstein, you don't have to say anything, keep quiet, and don't respond and say, actually, you know, we didn't really name for that reason. There was a whole separate reason that we named. You don't have to say that. Ihu dibay ala suke adayti, he should have figured that out himself. Ati anafshe, he fooled himself, and you don't have to reveal it. Thus, we see, when it comes to Shabbos Suda, when it comes to attending a wedding, when it comes to visiting somebody in the hospital, or naming your child after somebody who you really didn't have in mind to name, after in any of those cases, either the heter of the Gemara, as passing by the Shulchan Aruch, l'chabdo, if you're doing it to be mechabed the person, you don't have to reveal, you don't have to say something, or the heter of, or one-off is permitted, or the third heter, as the Shulchan Aruch mentions, yibay le'lasuke edayte, should have figured it out himself, also applies as well. Of course, even in these situations where it's mutter, it's absolutely forbidden to say explicitly, yes, I came to your chasna explicitly, specifically. Yes, I came to visit you, Dafka. Yes, I named my child after you. No, that you can't do. That's a lie. That's Gnevas Das. But to be silent and quiet and not respond, that would be permitted. There is one other exception to the rule in the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah Chelik Beis, Simen Yud Beis, as well as the Sefer Emes Kana in the very same Mar Mokom in Perek Ches Ha'arach of Dalet, notes that if you receive a kavod as a result of that which you did, again you would be prohibited to do so. For example, if you make it to the chasna, they said you came all the way, I'm going to give you bracha achrit, I'm going to give you a kibbutz kavod at the wedding. Or the person, in the context that we were dealing with, when you named your child after somebody who they thought you named it after their relative, says, you know what, I'm going to write you $1,000 check for naming your newborn baby after my child. In those cases, both in the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah by Spitz writes in Chelik Beis, as well as in the Sefer Emes Kana, the second half of the Sefer Mishpatei HaShalom, you cannot accept the kibud and you cannot accept the check you have to reveal. Because what is permitted is to stay silent and to be quiet, because he made his own mistake. But to receive a benefit as a result, and to receive absolute kavod back, that I can't do, because then it's as if I am saying, yes, I came to the chasna for you. Yes, I named my child after you. By accepting the $1,000 check, by accepting the kibud, it's as if I'm acknowledging that that's the reason that I came. So therefore, silence is okay. But to accept a kibud or to accept a gift as a result of the mistake that the person on their own is making, that would be prohibited. Thus, we have explained a bit about the Isser of Gnevas Das, again, what could potentially be an Isser Diraisa, at least according to the Ebenezer, according to the Sforno, and against many of the other Mone Mitzvos, according to the Rambam. It seemingly is not the Diraisa, at most it's the Rabbanan, probably only Amidas Chasidus, but nonetheless to appreciate how to speak, what to say, when to say, never Chalila to create a scenario or situation whereby I explicitly fool somebody, because the severity, the significance of being Gonev Daito Shobrios is the same as Gnevas Mamon, the same as Gnevas Nefashos, and maybe even more severe, because it's usur to do so to an Akum, and I'm fooling somebody, I'm tricking somebody. It's despicable, it's wrong, it's painful, it's hurtful, it's fraud, it's cheating, it's making a false impression, a false claim. It's not the way of a Ben Yisrael, it's not the way of a Ben Tor, it's not the way that a Jew acts. We're Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. We're not deceitful, we're not people who have access to grind and are creating a ruse and very differences about people. However, there are heter, there are exceptions where the exception is meant for the right purpose. L'chabdo, or not to be mevayish somebody, or to uplift somebody, to invite them, to make them feel that they're being cared for and looked out for. And I don't have to correct somebody's false impression mistake that they made. I shouldn't benefit as a result of the false impression that was made. But yes, if I'm attending a wedding or going to visit somebody in the hospital, or somebody thinks that I named their baby after them, I can stay silent and I can be quiet. They made their own mistake and I don't have to correct their false impression, their mistaken understanding. But to receive benefit as a result of that, to receive financial remuneration, or to receive a kavod as a result, that is prohibited. May we continue to be the Am Yisrael, an Or LaGoyim, the people are honest or upright, who act with integrity and righteousness. That's who Klal Yisrael, Tzion B'Mishpat Tifadeh, V'Shaveh B'Tzedakah.